Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
I want you to imagine the worst possible enemy of the gospel, someone who not only hates the gospel and everything that it stands for, but wants with all their might, with all their power, to stamp out the gospel, eradicating it from the face of the earth. But imagine this person, every time they try to stamp out the gospel, it's like throwing a barrel full of water on a grease fire. Instead of stopping the spread of the gospel breaks out and spreads all the more. If you can envision such a situation, you understand what the beginning of Acts chapter 8 is all about. Saul, the great persecutor of the church, is ranting and railing against the church, seeking to wreak havoc. Paul and his band of religious persecutors are not satisfied until every burning ember of the followers of Jesus, whether they be men, women, living in Jerusalem, are confined, condemned, and completely destroyed. But the problem that these persecutors of the church were facing is that the gospel of God cannot be contained or stopped, because the gospel breaks out, always accomplishing the plan of God by the power of God for the purposes of God. Acts 8 verse 4 is a turnkey verse that reads, "Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word." The picture that we get in our minds is like someone chucking stones in a pond. The more stones you toss, the more spreading out effects of the rocks hitting the water. But where do these believers go as they scattered abroad, preaching the gospel? Verse 5 focuses in on one believer and one place in particular included in this everywhere. Philip, one of the servants of God, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. When we read that word Samaria, it should stop us in our tracks and make our heads turn. For centuries, the Jewish people and the Samaritans had great antipathy for each other. The Jews despised the Samaritans, looking down on them, wanting nothing to do with them. The Jews' dislike for the Samaritans was so great that they would rather go out of their way, going around Samaria as they traveled to and from Jerusalem, than to put one Jewish footprint on Samaritan soil. Yet what do we see Philip, one of the believers who scattered abroad out of Jerusalem, doing? Philip, he intentionally breaks across this Jewish-Samaritan barrier, going down to the city of Samaria from Jerusalem, preaching Christ to them. But why would Philip go there? Well, there could be many reasons why, but ultimately we see in scripture hindsight that this breaking out of persecution and scattering of believers was all part of the sovereign plan of God. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? He said, "You will be my witnesses unto me, both in," where? "Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." No matter what man may try to do to stop the spread of the gospel will break out to every people, every culture, and every country, because it is first and foremost all part of the plan of God. But the plan of God for the gospel breaking out is actually twofold. First, the plan of God for the gospel breaking out is to be extended. God's plan for the gospel not only extends from before creation, extending from heaven to earth, but God's plan for the gospel to be extended is the culmination and the fulfillment of all of Scripture, beginning with the opening pages of the Old Testament, extending throughout the pages of the New Testament, all building up to God's unfolding plan of redemption that is centered in Christ. Christ's death, his resurrection, and the culmination of the promise of his coming again that flows ever outward, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and extending to every corner of the face of the earth. But not only is the plan of God for the gospel breaking out to be extended, but also the plan of the gospel for the gospel breaking out is to break down every barrier to the gospel. Samaria was one of those barriers to the gospel that must be broken down. It was built up by centuries of pride, prejudice, and even deep hatred. Recently, I had an opportunity to hear Dr. John Perkins share his testimony of how he came to Christ. Dr. Perkins was originally a third grade dropout. He grew up in the tumultuous times of racial segregation in Mississippi. Whites and blacks not only lived on separate sides of the tracks, but it was separate everything at that time, separate bathrooms, separate buses, separate schools, separate places to eat, and yes, even separate places of worship. Violence and hatred was all around. Dr. Perkins' older brother was shot by a local sheriff, and John watched as his brother died in his arms. Then years later, after he took part in a racial protest, Dr. Perkins himself was arrested, thrown into prison, and beat to a pulp by several white police officers while he was in jail. Dr. Perkins testified that he hated white people, all of them. But slowly and steadily, all by God's plan, the gospel of God began to break out into his life, extending out and then breaking down every barrier to the gospel. First, the white nurses and the doctors in the hospital extended care and concern for him as they treated his wounds and mended him back to health. And then John and his wife Vera May, they decided to move their growing family to California to get away from Mississippi. But little did they know that they had moved right into the hands of God, all according to his plan. Then Spencer, their son, while they were in California, he began attending a neighborhood Bible club sponsored by Child Evangelism Fellowship. Every week his son would come back from Good News Club sharing his Bible verses and songs that he was learning, including a song that broke right through John Perkins' barbed wire heart with words that said, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." Those words pierced through his heart. He thought, how can I hate people that Jesus loves and gave his life and died for? And through that little Good News Club held just around the corner, John Perkins heard the gospel, and he and his whole family trusted in Christ. The gospel of God had broken out all by the plan of God by extending out and breaking down every barrier to the gospel. Samaritans and Samaritans, they exist all around us. They can be places or even people where the gospel needs to be extended and barriers broken down, all according to God's plan. Maybe there's a Samaritan in your town, your neighborhood, or even next door. Yes, there are barriers. There can be culture barriers, racial barriers, economic and even social barriers. But God is calling us, all of us, according to his plan, to be his people and take the gospel, extending it ever outward to every area and breaking down every barrier by proclaiming Christ everywhere. But maybe your barriers to the gospel are not places, but people. Walls have been built up through time and distance and even great dislike. Maybe you feel cut off from others. Maybe even those closest to you are constantly whispering behind your back, spewing their poison of hatred and dissidence against you. Barriers build up because the pain and the hurt is real. It exists, but there's no question about it. If barriers to the gospel exist, whether it be persons, places, or things, God is calling us as his people to take the first step forward and go and extend out to others by the love of Christ, proclaiming Christ to them, and at the same time, let them see, even if it's only by our very presence and being with them, the love of Christ in us. Then we need to step back and watch what God does as the gospel breaks out, accomplishing God's plan. We need to remember that nothing can stop the gospel of God. It cannot be contained. It cannot be stopped. The gospel will break out, but God is calling each of us, all by his sovereign will, to go and take part in his plan. But not only does the gospel break out always accomplishing the plan of God, but secondly, the gospel of God breaks out by the power of God. When Philip went down from Jerusalem into Samaria proclaiming the gospel, what happened? Verse 6 tells us something amazing. The Bible says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." What's going on here? Well, this is nothing less than the gospel breaking out by the power of God. Sometimes the power of God is seen through the visible sign and miracles that verify the message of God's messengers, like here in Acts during the apostolic witness age. One of the greatest evidences of the gospel breaking out by the power of God is the powerful testimony, though, of a changed life. After the gospel broke out in Dr. Perkins' life in California, his life was completely turned around by the power of God, and he and his wife, they began to grow not only in their own walk with Christ, but in their heart's desire to show forth the gospel of God to others, including those back home. They made the hard decision to leave California and move back to Mississippi, the place that was full of so much pain, racial turmoil, and personal tragedy. But why would they do that? For one reason. Because they wanted others to know the power of the gospel breaking out in their lives as they demonstrate to others by living among them the power of the gospel breaking out by a changed life, changing what once before was only deep hatred to the love of Christ now for all races. Dr. Perkins and his wife, they actually began with a neighborhood outreach to children, both for blacks and whites. Why? For all are precious in his sight. And then God led them to dedicate their whole lives to the ministry of racial reconciliation, bringing whites and blacks together, united by the love of Christ and the gospel of Christ, not only in Jackson, Mississippi, but across the country and even around the world to this day, testifying to the gospel breaking out by the power of God. God wants each of us to know the power of God breaking out into every area of our lives. If we have trusted in Christ alone as our Lord and Savior, we already know and have seen the power of the gospel breaking out in our lives, taking us from darkness to light and from death to life, all by the power of God. We know the forgiveness of sins and have the promise of eternal life, not because of us, because of our righteousness. We have none, but because we have trusted in Christ's righteousness alone, given to us on our behalf by faith alone, in Christ alone, all by God's grace alone. But the gospel of God is not to stop there with our salvation. The power of the gospel is to break out into every area of our life, completing our sanctification, both transforming us and conforming us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we allow the power of the gospel and the love of Christ to consume every corner of our lives, all by the grace and power of God. The gospel of God will not be stopped. The gospel will break out, always accomplishing the plan of God by the power of God, but also for the purposes of God. One of the purposes and the result of the gospel breaking out is actually described here for us in Acts chapter 8, verse 8. It says simply, "And there was great joy in that city." Did you ever consider that one of the purposes of the gospel breaking out is to bring us great joy? Jesus said in John 15, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." It's ironic to think that this chapter didn't start out with great joy, but rather great persecution. For the believers in Christ, there was pain, suffering, sadness, and death and destruction all around them. But instead of the followers of Christ digging foxholes to duck and cover in, what do we see God doing, both in them and through them? Instead of the believers bemoaning their plight, the joy of the gospel had so broken out and filled their lives that they go out everywhere, despite the great persecution, and proclaim Christ. And as they go and proclaim, the gospel breaks out, extends out, breaking down barriers, always accomplishing the plan of God by the power of God for the purposes of God, including the purpose of even their own joy and the joy of others in knowing Christ. What can we learn from these first century believers? That despite our deepest and darkest circumstances in this life, and even in the face of great persecution, we can have great joy in Christ because of the gospel. But this joy is never just for our joy alone, but we can have great joy in seeing God use us and work through us as the gospel breaks out for others to know the great joy of knowing Christ too. A famous missionary documentary put out by New Tribes Mission recounts how the gospel broke out the remote Moke tribe living in Papua New Guinea in the mid-1980s. Mark and Gloria Zook left their farm life in rural Pennsylvania and crossed all kinds of barriers to the gospel, cultural, linguistic, spiritual, and even social acceptance barriers. Even among their own friends, they discouraged them from going and they urged them to stay. But instead, they left, crossed over, broke down barriers to the gospel, all to go and live among the Moke people who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ according to God's plan. As the gospel was unfolded to the people step by step through the chronological teaching of Scripture, they saw the people begin to respond to the gospel by the power of God. On the day of the final climatic teaching, the Moke people had an amazing gospel response. As they saw before their eyes and heard with their own ears how Christ was their righteous substitute lamb, whose blood was shed on the cross to pay for their sins, the Moke people in one accord began to rise to their feet, testifying that they believed God's word was true and that Christ alone was their sin bearer who took their sins. Mark, the missionary, he wanted to make sure that the people understood. He said, "If you really believe that Jesus, God's Son, died in your place for your sin through faith in Christ alone, then your sins are forgiven." All the people, the whole tribe, men, women, children, both young and old, leaped to their feet, jumping up and down, shouting and saying all together with great filled joy, "Itau, itau," meaning "it's true, it's true." This formerly unreached people group who knew only before fear, superstition, and had no hope in death were literally jumping for joy as the gospel of God had broken out across their land into their tribal family and now into their very hearts and lives. Itau, itau, the gospel, it's true, it's true. No matter what man may try to do to stop the gospel and despite every barrier to the gospel that exists, we can trust that the gospel of God will break out, always accomplishing the plan of God by the power of God for the ultimate purposes of God, but not only for our joy, but for the joy of others and knowing Christ too. Thank you again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.